We talking rom-com, we talking action, we talking drama and movie classics. Whatever you want, yo, we have it, cause we talking movies on a podcast. So I married a film critic. So I married a film critic. So I married a film critic.
Hey honey, I just wanna talk about the movie like casually. You don't have to bring up the cinematography. Honestly, let's just talk about like how the characters were fun.
Married a film critic. So I married a film critic. So I married a
Welcome to So I Married a Film Critic. I'm your co-host Julia.
And this is Barry the Film Critic. Hello everyone.
And this is a special episode. This is a listener request.
We have listeners. Ah. That's so exciting.
So my dear friend Cassidy asked if we would talk about Army of Darkness from 1993.
In an age of darkness.
May God have mercy upon your souls.
Something's wrong. Something's amiss.
And a time of evil.
You shall die!
When the world needed a hero.
The swallow our souls.
I don't want to die.
What it got was him.
Groovy. You know your shoelace is untied.
He's a 20th century guy.
For that arrogance, I shall see you dead.
Trapped in the Middle Ages.
All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up. This is my boomstick.
Now, let's talk about how I get back home.
Foretold by a mystical book.
Within its pages are passages that can send you back to your time.
Forewarned by a wise man.
You must recite the words Klaatu, Berata, Nictu.
I got it.
Fulfilled by a wise guy.
Klaatu, Berata, Nictu.
Even though we spoke the words, the army of the dead awoke.
Now, he's got a date.
Give me some sugar, baby.
With the Army of Darkness.
You found me beautiful once.
Honey, you got real ugly.
Sound the trumpets. Raise the drawbridge.
Look out!
Drop the Oldsmobile. From Sam Raimi.
Ooh, that's gotta hurt!
Director of Darkman. Comes Army of Darkness. They live. They breathe. They suck. Army of Darkness.
From director Sam Raimi. Thank you, Cassidy. I love it when people ask us to watch fun movies. That's fantastic. Not like, can you watch Sophie's Choice? Okay. No, this is great.
Okay, no one has asked us to watch Sophie's Choice.
Yet. Yet.
Do you think they will?
I think after this episode they will. To punish me. You shouldn't have said.
That's funny. So I actually saw this movie, I don't know, over a decade ago.
Yeah, I mean, this was like when you and I mean, this was a couple dozens of jobs ago. You and I were
in Colorado Springs.
Yeah, I was working at a publishing company at this point. This was a long time ago, and we were at a You were working at a company down the street, and we were newlyweds, and a friend had a party. And
oh, like, wow. So this is almost like 18 years ago.
Oh, yeah. It was a long, okay. long time ago. And yeah, they invite us over, and I love this movie. I remember when it was in theaters. This is one of those trailers my brother and I used to watch on video cassette all the time because, you know, in the 90s, there's no internet. So if you want to see a trailer for a movie, you have to see it in the theater, or you know that there's a video cassette that'll have the certain trailer on it you want. So we had a video that we used to watch this trailer over and over again because it used to make us laugh so hard. I didn't know that it was a sequel. I was familiar with The Evil Dead because of the poster for the first one always kind of intimidated me. The sequel, I knew it was like a horror comedy blend, but I can never bring myself to see it because I think my mom got wind. My mom's always protecting me from art. My mom got wind that it was rated X at one point for violence because it's so crazy gory. So I didn't actually see Eve. I think I saw this movie first is what I'm trying to say. And I remember hearing, I had a Cine Fantastique, a great magazine, movie magazine, and they always had previews about movies. And I think there was an article that said that this movie, the original title was Evil Dead 3 Army of Darkness, but that was not, kind of neither here nor there. So for me, this was the first of all these movies I saw, and it was the gateway that I went like, oh, I want more of this, more Sam Raimi.
Well, you had to remind me that I actually saw this movie, because when you said, oh yeah, we saw it, you know, you described the, you know, event, and I said, I have no memory of this film, but I know we ate nachos that night.
You remember the nachos and not the movie. That's amazing to me. Yeah, they're a very nice couple, but like these were friends, I mean, we have not seen since George W. Bush was president. I mean, it was a long time ago.
Yes, long time ago.
And this was one of those, yeah, just one of those random things that just happened once. And I remember it was like a double feature, because we watched Army of Darkness. I remember you thinking it was surprisingly hilarious. We laughed a lot. And then the second feature was Clue. And after like 10 minutes, you're like, let's go. So we left.
Oh, wow.
So I really don't think you like Clue.
Oh, well, all right. I'd probably have to see it again.
Okay.
All right.
Future episode.
So let's get into it. This movie opens up with Bruce Campbell playing Ash.
Yes.
The slave. And the year is 1300 AD. Mm-hmm. And he's kind of walking along in chains, and he's like, I wasn't always like this. And I used to live in the modern world. And then we go to the modern world, and Ash is working at an S-Mart.
This is so funny, because like, if you don't know what to expect, if you don't know these movies, there's nothing funnier than a guy in 1300 AD narrating his miserable life. He's in chains, and suddenly they cut to him working at S-Mart, which is so funny. And his hair is perfectly parted. He looks like such a dork at this job.
Yeah, yeah.
And he looks at least, what, 20 years too old to be working at S-Mart?
I don't know, but it's funny. It's just like, what, he finds this Book of the Dead, and, you know, basically a portal opens up and swallows him.
Well, you're describing the plot, The Evil Dead and The Evil Dead 2.
Oh, okay.
So this is basically like recapping the first two movies. And it's a weird thing because, I mean, Evil Dead and Evil Dead 2, I mean, the second film is basically a remake of the first film. It's not really a proper sequel. It's just like they had more money, and it's a better film, and it's a much funnier film. So this is the proper way to do it. What's interesting to me, and I don't know, I wish I knew the backstory on this. I don't, and I'm sure there's Deadhead fans listening to this like, we know why Bridget Fonda's in this. That's Bridget Fonda as his girlfriend. Yeah, I mean.
She has like 2 seconds of screen time.
She has exactly 3 shots, I counted. You see her working with him at the S-Mart. He takes her inside, and then that amazing shot where the camera comes flying through the window, and she goes, ah, and that's it for Bridget Fonda. Yeah, 3 shots, but like this is 1993. She was huge. This is around the time of Single White Female and Point of No Return. I mean,
she has the Single White Female haircut.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, she was gigantic at this point. She was like, I mean, at this point, she would have been like Ashley Judd or Sigourney Weaver. I mean, she was in every other hit movie. Hmm. So, and she wasn't even in the Tarantino movie yet. So this is a big deal that she's in this movie for 7 seconds, three shots. But it's so cool to see her.
So Ash cuts off his hand at one point.
With a chainsaw?
With a chainsaw.
Because he's possessed by the dead.
Yes.
The deadites.
The deadites. And so when he goes through the portal, he comes out the other side in 1300 AD with a chainsaw hand. And I was like, oh, wow. How did he manage to figure that out? I don't know. He's smart for working at S-Mart.
We got to be smart to work at S-Mart. And did you notice this? Because I try to be, I've tried to really watch it, and maybe I forgot to just watch it more judiciously, or maybe the movie just frankly forgets like I do. He has a streak of gray hair. Did you notice that?
No.
He's got a streak of gray hair on the right side of his temple, and it's there when he's about to get sucked into the portal, the flashback scene, and it's there during the first part of the ancient scene, but then I think it goes away.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a detail I am not going to try and figure out.
All right. Well, again, I think the movie forgets to keep the streak consistent, but I could be wrong about that.
So he gets chained up. You know, he's in the chain gang, and they're taking him off to this castle. And he's just like, what the heck? Where am I? And they get into, you know, inside the castle walls, and there's this pit.
In the Middle Ages, yeah. Mm-hmm. The days of the knights in shining armor. Right before they throw him in the pit, there's a shot I love so much, and it's just so funny. It's where it's established that, I mean, Ash is in this, you know, he's a 20th century man. He's in this, you know, in the Middle Ages. And a beautiful shot where he and the car land at the same time. It's so cool. But then when the knights are surrounding him and they're kind of questioning him and interrogating him, they see the car and they take out their swords and they're stabbing at the car. I love it so much.
They're like, what is this?
I stabbed thee.
Is it some kind of metal dragon?
It's great. Oh, so well, funny.
So he, but before he goes, anyone goes in the pit, he's trying to tell off whoever has imprisoned him. And he's like, you ain't leading but two things right now, Jack and shit. And Jack left town.
Yeah, great line, Sam Raimi. I love it.
So someone else goes into the pit first.
Yes.
And what? He's in there all of 5 seconds and they're all waiting. And then just this huge geyser of blood just comes.
Shoots up.
Yeah, shoots
up. And it's a valid question. Does the human body actually have that much blood? I say no, but it's fine. It's fine. It's great. I hope.
It's probably a mixture of blood and water, so.
Yeah, that's probably true.
Yeah, because there is water down there.
And saliva.
Ew.
Well, considering what's down there. There's monsters down there.
I know. So Ash gets thrown in the pit, and then he lands in the water, and you're like, what kind of nonsense is going on down there? And while he's, you know, he fights some crazy person. I don't even know. Like, are these people like
evil? I think they're possessed. Yeah, they're possessed. But I think that's the consistent. They're all possessed by the evil, you know, okay. the power that's unleashed from the Necronomicon. Yeah.
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 And someone, some hero throws his chainsaw down to him and it just like magically lands on his.
Makes a perfect connection. Yeah, yeah. It's great.
Yeah. And he's just like, so He basically fights like two different.
He battles deadites. This possessed old crone, which is awesome, and then he battles this creature with a really funky face.
And he manages to get out of the. It's kind of like that Star Wars scene where the walls are like closing in.
Yeah,
with the spikes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, like it's time to give him the spikes.
Yeah,
so he gets out. All right, otherwise there would be no movie, but. Then he has a gun? Like, did he have his gun on him the whole time? Like, why wasn't he using that in the pit?
Right. A very convenient detail. Yeah.
Convenient.
And it's a very long shotgun, too.
Yeah. Because it's like, oh, I had this gun the whole time. Thank God they threw down this chainsaw.
Yeah.
I mean, all right. So he tells them he needs to go back to his own time.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, with the gun and his showing off. They kind of realize, oh, this guy could be the one that's been spoken about in the prophecies. So he ends up getting a cool new hand, though. Like, these middle-aged people are pretty handy.
Absolutely. Yeah, indeed. Well, before we get too far into it, I just want to say, like, this introductory scene where they're about to throw him into the pit, for one thing, it's full of, like, probably the most quotable parts of the film, and deservedly so. And Campbell's wonderful. And there's a few things. Sam Raimi is rocking this movie as a filmmaker. This is why this is such a pleasure for me to watch. I don't think there's a single dull shot in this film. The ones that jump out at me right from the start, there's a shot of the chainsaw is reflected in the sunlight and it becomes like a fading into the sun. There's this great shot where a foot stomps down and suddenly the camera pulls up into this crane shot of what the pit is. And then you get this great shot of an arrow shooting a guy and it's the arrow's point of view. And after the arrow connects, the camera does this amazing glide across all of the extras, and it lands back on Campbell. I mean, Raimi is just directing the hell out of this movie, even when not much is happening. It's such an exhilarating film, even more so than the comedy. The comedy is great, although it's all over the place. It's sometimes it's sophisticated, sometimes it's the most juvenile, ridiculous silliness. But like, this is. This is such a tour de force of just the energy of this movie is what I'm trying to say. Like there's no way to describe it. It's such an exciting film to watch because the camera is always doing these interesting things. It's Mark Twain's A Connecticut Yankee in King Arthur's Court, but the way this story is told, I mean, this movie is like hopped up on caffeine. It's great.
Okay, can we talk about Sheila for a minute?
Yeah, is that a plausible name for someone living in the Middle Ages? I say no.
I don't think so.
That's a ridiculous detail.
She should have been like Meredith or...
Agatha. Alexandria. Sheila. No, yeah. There's no way. The Middle Ages? Yeah, I think that's a purposely absurd detail. And just played by Emmett Davids, the same year that she had a standout role in Schindler's List.
Same year.
Go from Sam Raimi to Steven Spielberg. Yeah, that's crazy.
Wow.
Yeah.
So she starts off seeing Ash and just like kind of beating the crap out of him and like spitting in his face because she thinks that he murdered her brother or something.
Yeah, yeah.
And then once she realizes, oh, maybe he's the one that these prophecies have spoken about, she really turns on the charm with him.
Yeah, yeah.
And wants to, I don't know, get a little Campbell action.
Yeah, a little Campbell action. You were even telling me, like, he's handsome.
He is.
Let me throw this out. I mean, not only is he spectacular in this role, I mean, Ash is... I mean, you can't help but admire the fact that, I mean, he will fight every fight to the last drop of blood that he has in his body. He's also kind of a moron. Well, he's kind of an oaf, and he's also a heel. But, like, Campbell just makes this character so endearing, even when he's, you know, we love characters like this. You know, they think they're the smartest person in the room, and they're not. Sometimes some of the funniest things to play. But I tell you, one of the dozens of things they could have done to improve that wretched live action Beauty and the Beast movie, they should have cast Campbell as Gaston.
Oh.
I mean, even the chin, everything. I mean, like,
yeah, he does have a Gaston
is
chin.
So perfect for that. And I'm sure Bruce Campbell could probably sing. I would think so.
I think he would try. He would take lessons if he
I
didn't.
Think he would have stolen that sad, lifeless movie, and I think he would have been a great Gaston.
Oh.
No offense to Luke Evans, but yeah.
Well, I don't know. That movie didn't come out that long ago, and maybe he was a little too old for the part.
I disagree. I think it could have worked.
All right. Well, so Sheila is kind of coming on to Ash, mm-hmm. and Ash is, I don't know if he even understands what's going on, but at one point he's like, give me some sugar, baby, and just like grabs her and like kisses her, and it's like, okay.
He's a Viking. He's just such a oaf of a man. Yeah.
He really is.
Yep. Maybe a problematic character today.
But
he is in the Middle Ages, so, you know, it kind of balances off, right?
Yeah, I guess
I'm not
so.
Saying I condone this kind of behavior, but, you know, obviously no one in this time is going to be like, hey, that's not acceptable. No, it's the Middle Ages. It's like, hey, buddy, are you a pail of ale?
Oh, my gosh. All right, so the second act of the movie is him and, you know, some of these... middle-aged people, they're like, we have to go find this book. The what is it called?
The Necronomicon.
All right.
Well, you're forgetting, like, the scene where he's, you know, he's being attended to by the wenches. Remember, he's, like, hitting grapes.
Yeah.
And one of the ladies in attendance is this old lady who is also possessed. And she's got the line, you shall die, which I love. And
there's all these, like, random possessed people around.
I met the lady who played that role. It's Patricia Tallman, who is the lead in the Color 1990 remake of Night of the Living Dead. She's fantastic, and she's also a stunt performer. And she's great in this. I mean, she's great in everything. But, this scene is crazy, too. It's like this, again, the energy of it, how exciting it is. This is, oddly enough, I mean, for a movie that's always billed as kind of a horror comedy, it's really an action movie.
Yes. Yeah. Action horror comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's genre free. Baby.
Genre free.
That's what you like to say.
I love that. TM. Gonna TM that one day.
Okay. So he's been attended to by the women.
Wenches.
he's fought some more possessed crones. He's ready to go back to his time. He's ready to go back to S-Mart, which, you know what? Why is my question. He could be here and be like the king of this entire world, but we'll get to that point.
But, you know, you could be a king of the Middle Ages, or you could be like, you know, the employee of the month at S-Mart.
Well,
I kind of get it. You know, I've been employee of the month in my lifetime. And I'll tell you, it is an amazing feeling. Because for one thing, I did not deserve it when I got that honor. And second of all, it was amazing to like have all these people I work with who I did not care for. Not everybody, but a lot of my coworkers were just kind of awful. And it was amazing to like walk around like I was Elvis Presley. So I get it. Ash wants to get back to S-Mart because that's where his time to shine is.
Oh my gosh. Okay, so now everybody's on horses. They're going to go look for the Book of the Dead. And... What's funny is the guys are like, all right, when you find the book, you have to say these exact words. And he makes Ash repeat them like 3 times. And finally, he's like, just, all right, I'll remember, whatever. And you know, like, this moron is not going to remember.
Klaatu, Barata, Nictu, which is, of course, a reference from The Day the Earth Stood Still.
Oh, it is?
Yeah, it is actually the line from that movie.
Did you have that memorized?
Oh, I know this movie pretty well. It's Army of Darkness. Yes, I know the line. Oh, my God. I just know when he's like, Klaatu, Barata, Nectai.
Yes,
the best is when he's like, Klaatu, Barata, you know, tries to fake it.
Tries to fake it.
Yeah, can't do it.
You can't fake the Deadites.
Yes, that's right. You can't fake the power of the Necronomicon is too strong.
Yeah. Okay, so Ash is going. He's basically chased by some evil that he was kind of chased at in the real world.
Yeah, it's that great POV shot. And the way Raimi did it in the original film is he had this big 2x4 board. I don't know if this is the right dimensions. He had this long wooden board, and at the middle of the board, they strapped a camera to it. So it's two guys running through the woods with this board.
Oh, wow.
And this is early.
Sped up?
Yeah. Yeah, so I mean, it has like that Steadicam floating effect, but you're not doing with any kind of artsiness. It's just speeding the camera up, but it has this crazy, otherworldly sort of feel.
With the whole like the
off camera. So yeah, it's fantastic. Yeah, so there's a lot of shots like that where you're not really sure what or if anything's actually chasing him. It's like basically the camera is pursuing Bruce Campbell, which is great.
So he ends up in this like wind, I don't know what it's called, where the little mini ashes show up.
Oh, the windmill. Yeah, the windmill. Is probably a Don Quixote reference, yeah, I think. The windmill. Yeah, sorry. Yeah. Or actually, I think it's a reference to the Wolfman, and I'll say why in just a minute. But yeah, he shows up and he goes inside. He looks in the mirror. The reflection is not matching his. It's a little eerie moment, although this is not.
Breaks the mirror.
This is not a scary movie. Yeah. The mirror breaks, and all the little reflections are little ashes, and suddenly it's Gulliver's Travels, where they're all attacking him.
That's actually exactly what I thought.
Oh yeah, it's totally Gulliver's Travels reference. Yeah, a great reference. And so they tie him down, they torture him.
They make him eat one of them.
Yes, which is one of my favorite scenes in the movie, where it's such a silly film, but it never fails to just destroy me. Is where he sees a boiling pot of water, he's like, he's drinking the from a roasting hot steaming tea kettle, and as he's drinking the water, and it's obviously the most agonizing thing, you could hear from his stomach.
Okay, little fella, how about some hot chocolate, huh? I'd like to taste that.
It's so great.
Well, he also gets his cheek like stuck on like a stove, like hot metal.
Yeah, and he has to use a spatula to get it off.
And then when he finally gets up, it's like it doesn't even really look like he's ever been burned.
No.
So it's obviously ridiculous. Like he's hurting himself. And yeah,
this
is
a $12 million movie, but I mean. I don't know. I'm very fast and loose. It feels like, you know, even though Raimi is dealing with a bigger train set, so to speak, it's like he's still playing by indie rules. Because obviously there's some great special effects, there's extra sets, but this movie still has this very hands-on student film sort of feel to it. And I mean that as a huge compliment. This is not an indifferent film, and it's, you know, full of all these really great practical effects.
Yeah, so the mini Ash inside of Ash grows a second head on Ash. And then he gets like separated from evil Ash.
There's a wild shot where it's a two-headed Ash running around. And that's where I think the reference is to the Wolfman, where he's outside the windmill, it's a full moon, and they both stop and go, oh! For no good reason. But yeah, they eventually separate. And then, I mean, this is, again, a thing I love about this movie because at times the humor is sophisticated, it's clever, it's wordplay.
This was the craziest.
This is so frantic. Childish. And then I'm good Ash, you're bad Ash. It's like, it's so, so silly and childish, but it's so funny because it's crazy. Yeah, and the good Ash versus bad Ash, it becomes, Ash kills the bad Ash and, very easily. And
buries him.
Yeah, buries him. And it's pretty awful. And he also takes a chainsaw to him as well.
Yeah.
At one point. But yeah, of course we think bad Ash is gone from the film. That's not the case at all. Yeah. It's the Evil Dead. So of course he's going to come back.
Right. So finally Ash gets to the cemetery. He finds the Book of the Dead and there's three of them. And he's like, oh no. So I just thought it was funny because he opens the first one and it's like a portal and he gets sucked into it and then he has to like fight his way out and he's like, whoa, wrong book. Then he's looking at the books, right? And there's one that's like up higher than the other and he's going to go to touch it and he's like, I think this is a trick. So he gets the other one and it bites him.
It's great. And it's one of these things where he throws it away and like it has wings, it flaps its pages and flies back to him to bite him again.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So then he finally picks up the right one and he tries to say the words. And this is where he just messes it up.
Seems fairly obvious. Ooh, wait a minute. The words. Right, right, right. Say the words. Klaatu, Barata, necktie, nectar, and nickel.
Noodle. It's an N word. It's definitely an N word.
Definitely an N word. Klaatu, Barata, okay then. That's it.
Screws it up, and one of my favorite visual, and I mean, I got a lot from this movie, but one of my favorite things is when things go south, the way that Raimi visualizes it, the headstones take off like missiles. They're like, pew, pew, like yeah. Shooting into the air.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So this is where he says the words wrong and like coughs it out. And yeah, lots of explosions. I love the part where the skeletons come out from the ground and he's like face down on the ground and there's just all these skeleton hands just like
smacking the crap out of him. But
like doing it like funny, like pulling it at his mouth.
Yeah, Three Stooges style.
Yeah, Three Stooges style. And it's just so funny.
It's great. It's so silly. And I mean, the timing of it must have been agonizing because, I mean, it looks like a simple effect. No, I mean, the choreography of it is very specific.
I don't even know how they did it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you know, it's a bit of puppetry, a bit of just old school film school know-how wizardry. Yeah, there's wonderful stuff in this movie. Even the special effects look like, well, that's dated. Well, no, this is great. You don't see this anymore.
Everything's CGI, yeah.
It's CGI. The CGI, you know, CGI can be great, but too much of it is very impersonal. It's a little too perfect. Here, it's like even the stuff that's not exactly right on, it's like, man, people worked on this. People cared about this. This is cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was. I just thought that was all the stuff with the skeletons. I thought was pretty.
That's
neat.
A great bit.
Yeah.
By the way, he gets out of there. He finally gets out of there, even after the place is like coming apart. His horse was just waiting for him. Like that's maybe the only detail I don't believe. That horse has seen some crazy crap. That horse would have and just galloped out of there a long time ago.
Horse was like, you know what? I'm not going to deal with these deadites anymore. I'm out of here.
Yeah. Why isn't the horse possessed? I mean, there's a lot of unless the horse. No, it doesn't make any sense where the horse would just wait there. All that crazy crap the horse is listening to and watching.
Yeah.
But, oh.
All right. Well, all right. So then we see that Bad Ash raises from the grave. So he is going to lead this army of darkness.
Yes.
And since Ash didn't speak the words exactly, an army of evil is coming. And Sheila gets taken by like a demon flying thing and like taken to Bad Ash.
Before that moment, we get the one F-bomb in the movie, which I think is hilarious. And it's of course from Ash, and it's completely justified in that moment. But then it's like the question of, this could have been PG-13, except it's crazy gory.
Yeah.
It's gory, but like, I don't know. I feel like this movie could have been PG-13. I feel like by today's standards, it probably would be. But yeah, right before Sheila is taken away by this winged demon thing, she has this moment where she expresses her disappointment in Ash. They all do, because Ash, it sounds like he's just like, he just wants to get the book.
Because they're like, oh, did you say the words? And he's like, well, not exactly, like, perfectly. I may have screwed it up a tiny bit.
And he wants out of there. He doesn't want to help them fight the Battle of the Dead that is obviously on its way. But yeah, Sheila hits him hard, because right before, the moment before she's abducted, the last thing she says to her in whisper, she goes, coward, and she storms off. It's like, oh, that's gotta hurt, Ash.
Yeah, so she gets taken away, and the army of evil assembles itself, led by evil Ash.
Yes. And this is one of my favorite jokes in the movie. The army of the dead, the evil dead, deadite army, they have a marching band. Which begs the question, are these dead musicians, or did they rise from the dead and like, no, we should start a band. You got didgeridoo, I got a triangle, we should be a band.
It looks like they're playing like other people's bones.
Exactly. Yeah. Because when, you know, it's Middle Ages, there's, you know,
where are you going to find instruments?
You got to work with what you got.
Yeah.
But yeah, it's insane. And you made this point too. I've never noticed this before. But the Evil Dead Army, they've stolen some of the women from town.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what are they going to do with them? No, you know, I mean, if we're talking about a salacious Evil Dead Army, they're skeletons. They have no genitals.
Right. That's true.
So what are they going to do with the women? I don't know. Maybe I shouldn't question that.
Well, Evil Ash takes Sheila, and it's like the grossest kissing scene of all time.
What does he say before he kisses her?
I don't remember.
Like, give me some sugar, baby.
Oh, yeah. It's like, ew. But then she becomes possessed, and now she's like Evil Sheila.
Evil Sheila. But yeah, this is an army of stop-motion animation skeletons, a wonderful tribute to Ray Harryhausen. Kind of fun to say, I don't get to say this a lot, but like, this is another guy I've met. I got to meet Ray Harryhausen at Comic-Con. This is one of the pioneers of stop motion. I mean, pioneer. He is the man. He and David Allen are the man when it comes to stop motion animation. And these skeletons are so fun and so funny. Some of them have facial hair, which is so bizarre.
But it reminded me of like the Pirates of the Caribbean ride.
Yeah,
where it's like they're trying to be scary, but they're really not.
And that's what makes them so funny. Because I mean, there's nothing funnier than skeletons like holding a sword and like with a Viking helmet on. Yeah.
Yeah. And didn't some of them have like marching band outfits?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, that marching band really has his act together. They've got the instruments. They've got outfits. Like, time to shine, guys.
Okay. So then this is where I just thought that the deadites walking toward the castle was just really funny.
Oh, it's great. It's such an absurd villain. But the thing is, there's so many of them. That's the thing. It's daunting because I think they established there's really not that many knights plus Ash. But there's so many of these undead warriors.
Yeah. And this is when there's just an all-out war. So yeah. I don't know what you want to say about the war.
For me, this is the only thing that keeps the movie from being a 4-star movie. It's just like this part of the film, I feel like it gets redundant. Mm. And then when you get to Ash tricking out his car, and his car like has like a windmill thing
on it. A wind
power. Yeah, it's a little Mad Max. That's, you know, it just feels like, I don't really need that. It's more interesting to see the hand-to-hand combat. And that stuff is wonderful. To see, you know, see them fighting these skeleton soldiers. Or as you notice, some extras.
Yes, okay. Because when they're walking towards the castle, you can clearly see it's just like a full skeleton. I don't know how they did that. But then when you see them breach the you know, the wall, you can, it's obvious, like, extras dressed as skeletons.
Yeah, there's some cutting corners. I mean, you actually, there's a scene where Ash is standing atop the castle, and the moon that he's standing in front of is clearly a glowing model. Clearly a glowing model, but it, whatever, it looks great. There's a fun little bit. Most people who love Raimi know that this is his car, and his car is in every single movie he's ever made. He always puts it in there somewhere. And in the trunk of his car in this movie is an issue of Fangoria, which of course has written about Raimi's work many, many times. Yeah, I like the scene. I mean, there's a lot of inventive stuff. There's a lot of really great standout moments. You know, there's a scene where Ash is, I mean, there's so much choreography here where he's got to go up and down the steps and battle the skeleton warriors. And yeah, a lot of fun. Yeah. Really exciting.
The other guy is like, just protect the book, you know, because they don't want to lose that. Mm-hmm. Okay. So,
And this is maybe this is one of the fun things about making the movie too. Every time a skeleton explodes, he screams.
Oh my gosh. Like, watching the skeletons explode is really funny.
I just, how fun to go into sound booth, like, okay, the skeleton is going to explode, his mouth opens, I need you to go, ah! It's great. I mean, it happens dozens and dozens of times, and I never get sick of the sight of watching an exploding, screaming skeleton.
Yeah. And then the other army comes to rescue them.
Yes.
I don't remember that guy saying.
Yeah, I should remember that, yeah. The plot of this movie is, it's there, Henry the Red.
Yes.
Yeah, Duke Henry the Red, who's the rival to this castle and to the knights of this castle.
Yeah.
They come and help the fight. But yeah, we haven't mentioned the rival knight who eventually, you know, joins the fight, nor the is it the wizard or the wise old man. They're kind of neither here nor there.
It doesn't really matter.
They're kind of exposition. I mean, even the love story, if you want to call it that, it's very, very loose. And I'm fine with that. This movie is an hour and 20, and it's tight. It's always in motion. There's almost, I mean, there's like no dead air in this movie, pun intended. So.
Okay, so Ash kills Bad Ash, right?
Yes.
Ooh, it's like badass, Bad Ash.
Yeah.
Okay.
Sure, that was intentional.
And so they send the army, the dead army, just like what, back to their graves?
Yeah, at one point, there's a high-pitched British skeleton voice going, "Let's get the hell out of here!" Yeah, they all run off. Yeah.
They just like dive back into the ground.
Right.
Like, where they can rest in peace. So then, I don't know, Ash says goodbye to Sheila.
To Sheila.
Yeah. And kisses her, but in the when he's talking over the movie,
narration.
He's just like, and then I left her. Like, he doesn't care.
No. He's got bigger fish to fry. Basically himself. He's always thinking about himself.
Yeah.
So
all right, so he says the words correctly this time.
Which is kind of a miracle if you know this character that he's able to get that right.
Yeah, and he goes back to the future.
Indeed, he does.
Mm-hmm. And back to working at S-Mart. And then he's kind of telling this story to his coworkers, and they're just like, yeah, sure, you fought some undead skeletons. That's great.
Yeah, man, what a joy to work with Ash again. Yeah. And the guy on that shift is Ted Raimi, the director's brother, and who's also a character actor.
And then another like crazy witch like shows up.
Yeah,
like one of the undead.
Yep.
I don't get it. Why? Did she follow him?
Followed him through the portal. Yeah, through the portal. Maybe she possessed his pen. I don't know.
Oh.
I don't know.
You don't know.
No idea.
So. He does kind of, there's a woman who's like, ooh, tell me more about this, you know, and they kind of.
Probably her first day at S-Mart, let's be honest.
So my whole theory about this movie mm-hmm. is, because that's the end.
Yes.
That's the end of Army of Darkness, is that Ash is delusional and he works at S-Mart and this whole thing never happened. And this is his way of getting through the awful, mundane days of working retail in the modern world.
I love that. I love that interpretation. I've never thought of that before.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, that's really good. That's really good. Well, I not to counter that, this is a standalone film. It is Evil Dead 3, but the film does stand alone enough. I feel like there's a lot of people that, like myself, went and discovered this world, this character, this franchise after watching Army of Darkness. But as any Army of Darkness fan knows, there is another ending. There's the original ending, which I showed to you. Oh, yeah. I love this original ending so much. Because if anything, it does set up another sequel. There you go. What kind of sequel could it possibly come out of this? But the original ending that they shot it's cruel. It's cruel, but it's so funny where he, you know, again, Ash is... he's our hero, but he's a dummy, and he's only supposed to take 5 drops of this elixir, which is going to make him sleep and wake up in his own time. He ends up taking 6. He wakes up and humanity is basically
destroyed.
Yeah. It's over. Like there's all these monuments and towers that have fallen. It's like, oh no, I slept too long. And the world has ended. He's the last man alive. Yeah. It's, you know, I don't know. I mean, I think it's funny enough. Maybe the audience is feeling like, oh, poor Ash, but you know,
why would anyone think poor Ash?
Why would
that's ridiculous.
That? Well, for one thing, they love Campbell. I mean, it's. I love that this movie opens up. It's not Bruce Campbell in Army of Darkness. The opening credits are Bruce Campbell versus the Army of Darkness, which is such forward thinking on Raimi's part. Because at this point, Campbell, I mean, he certainly had his fan base and people knew who he was, but he is a huge, huge fan favorite. I mean, he's one of these guys you mentioned, like Robert Englund. He's definitely in that high regard in terms of genre movies and action movies. Long career, probably about 100 movies at this point. He played Elvis Presley in Bubba Hotep, which is an acclaimed performance, and he's very good in that. Great. He's really a great actor, but he's beloved for playing this dopey but profoundly heroic character, and he's done it multiple times. This was the beginning. I'd say Army of Darkness was really the beginning of this franchise really exploding, because this film was Army of Darkness. The movie was a flop in theaters. It was barely in theaters. I didn't even get the chance to see it in theaters. I wanted to, and it was gone after a week. But it became huge in video cassettes and you know the different DVDs that have been out there. But after this film came out, you had the different comic book series. There are action figures. Of course, there is the series Ash versus the Evil Dead, and I think Raimi did the pilot of that, or maybe he did the first couple episodes. It's good. I saw the first season. I haven't finished it, but it's very funny. It's very much in line. And that series is very much an extension of Army of Darkness, what happens afterwards. They've never, as of right now, they've never made an Evil Dead 4, and that's always one of those rumors that they'll maybe do it one day. I don't think we need it, not only because we have the series, but because... Fede Alvarez, who we talked about, he's the director of
Don't Breathe.
Don't Breathe. Fede Alvarez did a remake of Evil Dead, and it starred Jane Levy, who's also the star of Don't Breathe, and that remake is fantastic. Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell produced that, so they definitely gave the project their blessing. That is a brilliant film, and it actually connects with your interpretation of it, because the hook of that is that it's a female lead. It's Jane Levy's character, and she is a substance abuser. And the idea is that she's in this cabin, she's going through withdrawals, and initially you're not sure if everything she's seeing is real or if it's just a matter of her symptoms that she's seeing the Evil Dead. It's brilliant. It's thrilling. It's gross. It is a tour de force. I love that movie. And Campbell has a last second cameo in it. I don't feel like there needs to be an Evil Dead 4. That's what I'm saying, because I feel like we've had more than enough returns to this franchise. I don't know if fans feel that way. I wonder if people are still waiting for Evil Dead 4. But I think there's enough out there to satiate the fans.
Okay. Well. Do you have any other alternate scenes or endings that you would like to see?
I mean,
maybe in this movie you would have liked to see.
Well, I want a whole movie about the Deadeye marching band. I want to see them march through town to town. They don't have a bone to pick. I mean, they just want to play music. So I love the idea that they go from town to town and the villagers are like, oh, this is charming. Or they'll chase them with the torches and pitchforks.
Oh.
So yeah, I want a movie about the Deadite marching band. I think that would be fantastic.
What if Ash had stayed in the Middle Ages?
I think he's too annoyed by them. Because remember, they are trying to kill him. And he has that great line, "This is my boomstick!" And he calls them primitive screwheads. I think for all the things about these people that are admirable, I feel like he has such a disdain for them and feels like that they are beneath him. So I don't think he would have stayed in.
I kind of thought he would have brought Sheila back to the future with him.
Hmm.
But he didn't.
Well, you know, she was at one point possessed by the evil dead. And he's got that line, "Honey, you got real ugly." So I don't. And I think, you know, I think Ash is so shallow that I think the fact that she once looked pale and scary looking, I think that's probably a deal breaker for him.
Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
I want to say that this is my favorite of the Evil Dead films. The second one is probably the most accomplished film and certainly maybe even the most acclaimed. But the first two films, particularly the first one, they linger on a detail that I thought this clearly a movie made by a young person. In the original film, a woman is raped by a tree. Forgive me. I'm not trying to
be
crass.
In the Evil Dead 1?
Evil Dead 1, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, I'm not trying to derail this conversation. I don't want to talk about it further. But that detail, I always thought, you know what? These were young guys. They're trying to make, you know, they're really trying to call attention to themselves with this movie. Like the first Evil Dead, like the sequel, Evil Dead 2, Dead by Dawn, insanely gory movies. But I think that detail I mentioned is there because they were young and they were trying to like let's do something really crazy and outrageous and gross and, you know, really steps over the line. And they did it. And the scene, you know, maybe it's more graphic than the way I'm describing it, but like I've always hated that scene's there.
Mm-hmm.
And I like that Army of Darkness really leans in. I mean, it's gory, but it is more of a character comedy, which I think is really a harder thing to do.
Yeah, agreed. Yeah.
I like that this is more of a Monty Python movie, really. Mm-hmm. There's a real Python vibe going on with this film. You know, nearly every scene is a tour de force in Raimi's hands. I feel like I love the camera work. I certainly love, and Campbell is right there with him. I mean, he just literally throws himself into every scene in the movie. This is like the golden age of Dino De Laurentiis, the producer of the film, who also, you know, this is around the time he was making Army of Darkness. He produced Breakdown, Hannibal, Dragon, the Bruce Lee story. This was like this really great period where De Laurentiis' name was being attached to these wonderful movies. I love this movie. I really, really do.
You give it 4 stars?
3.5. Three and a half. Because I feel like the final battle gets a little long-winded and redundant for a movie that's as brisk as it is. As I said, the scene with Ash's car tricked out to look like Mad Max, I've never liked that.
I thought it was cool.
It's cool, but I don't know if the movie really needs it. It feels, I don't know. When all the mayhem happens in the third act, so, a lot of it is so funny and inventive, but you know.
So less Mad Max, more skeleton musicians.
Lots more skeleton musicians. Yeah. Mm, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. What would you say? 3 stars or? Did you like it that much?
I would give it 3 stars. Maybe 3.5. I don't know. I liked it. It was funnier than I remembered. Well, I didn't remember it at all.
You remember the...
Remembering nachos. I was not remembering anything about this movie.
Is your memory like that? Do you remember food? Like, more, you know...
Yes, I remember sneaking in like a chicken rice bowl into a movie theater one time. I do not know which movie that was.
But you remember the rice
bowl
was pretty spectacular.
Yeah.
I remember like sneaking sandwiches into movies with you, and I'm just like, oh, this is decadence.
Yeah,
we've
snuck
the luxury.
A lot of food in.
Well, I know you want to wrap things up, so this is something I've been saving.
Okay.
So this, as you know, this has been on our fridge. This is something we've shown to family and friends many times. I do love this picture. This is when you and I were just, we were friends, although I had such a crush on you. This is the first picture of you and I that was ever taken. And you may notice the poster that fits prominently in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We'll post this picture.
So this is from 2001. I look like I'm about 13 years old.
This is the first photograph of us ever, and there's an Army of Darkness poster in the
background. Prominently
in
the background. This is at my dear friend Austin. Hey, Austin, if you're listening. My friend Austin's apartment. And it's funny, like, it's not even like a big theatrical one sheet. It looks like one of those, like, maybe he got it like from a screening. Like, here's a poster.
It looks pretty big.
But not like
we're closer to the camera.
Yeah, maybe it is, but anyway, yeah, it's funny because like you could tell it's definitely an apartment of young 20 somethings. I see like a Snapple.
There's just like trash everywhere.
A Snapple and I think that's contact lens solution, stacks of books and crap and
no decorations, just a bookshelf, a TV and an Army of Darkness
with
poster.
Rabbit ears and an army of, yeah, I mean, if anything, this says so much about the era. Yeah, and I look like Shaggy. We're both wearing almost matching with
yellow t-shirts.
Yeah, I love this picture so much, and you can just tell I'm just like I'm standing next to her. I'm so happy. This is the happiest thing, best thing that's ever happened to me. Yeah,
I mean, I'm leaning.
You are. You're leaning.
She's leaning.
Yeah. Yeah. I think this is from 2001, I think. So.
Yeah.
Anyway, yeah. So I saw this today. I'm like, oh, I got to mention this because there's an Army of Darkness.
That's funny.
Right there. Predominant. Yeah. So we'll post that on our Instagram.
All right.
All right. Well, anyway, Cassidy, I hope you're happy. No, that was fun. Thank you for giving us an excuse to watch it. You and I were laughing a lot last night.
We were.
That was,
yeah.
That's always enjoyable. No, I dig this movie. Is it Raimi's best film? No. Raimi, I'll say quickly. Sorry, wrap it up. So Darkman, 1990, the movie he did right before this. I think that's his genre masterpiece. And non-genre, he did a film in 98 called A Simple Plan. That's Bill Paxton, Bridget Fonda, again, and Billy Bob Thornton in his best performance. A Simple Plan is his best film. It is a masterpiece. It's one of the best dramas and crime films of the 1990s. It is an excellent film. Please check that out if you like Raimi. I know he's got a Doctor Strange movie in theaters right now, but like this guy is versatile. His work is interesting and varied. And yeah, Darkman, A Simple Plan, I think are his two best movies, but boy, do we love Army of Darkness.
And Army of Darkness can be found on HBO?
It's about to leave. So it's floating out there. I'll find out where it is and we'll post it in the,
okay,
in the show notes. We'll, but yeah, it's out there. And I mean, for Pete's sake, if you have a DVD player, I mean, this thing is famously, it's been re-released on DVD dozens of times. So it's out there.
Can you get it at your local library?
Yeah.
All right.
I think so.
Guys, if you don't have a library card and you're not renting DVDs for a dollar, I don't know what you're doing.
Or I mean, you know, where we live, it's renting it for a dollar, but every other place I've ever lived, it's free.
It's free.
Yeah.
Free.
I mean, especially if any of my friends in Colorado are listening to this, if you have access to the Denver Library, which is like Blockbuster Video times a thousands, yeah, you get access to thousands of movies.
For free.
All you need is a library card. I say that teasingly because I have a library card. I have my number memorized, and my little girl just got her first library card. So yeah, we're very big on the library system. So
that's right.
Take advantage, folks.
All right. Thank you. That was our discussion of Army of Darkness.
Good night, everyone.